T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Bullsey, you were reacting rather vociferously to the lineup.
Yeah, a couple of surprises here for me.
Tell me it one by one.
All right, here we go.
I guess?
Yes.
I'm going to guess Cruz is leadoff.
Playing shortstop, batting leadoff, O'Neill Cruz.
I'm going to guess Reynolds is second.
Yes, he is. Playing what position?
Left field.
Left field.
I'm going to guess McCutcheon's third.
McCutcheon is third. Doing what?
DHing?
DHing.
Now it gets tricky. Carlos Santana?
Carlos Santana batting fourth, playing first base.
Holy horse milk. I'm four for four.
Look at you. Now this is... All right, go ahead.
Key Brian Hayes at third.
Nope.
Sawinski in center.
Nope. I mean, they're there, but not in this spot.
Castro at second?
Nope.
Oh, and what?
Kanan, Smith, and Jigba.
Ooh.
Batting fifth in right field.
Holy corn follicles.
Yes, that's what surprised me. They're really rewarding him for a good spring.
Shelty told us yesterday.
They like him a lot.
Man, we can get into this later. The whole thing about what a spring training means and doesn't mean seems to be applied very haphazardly to certain people and not to others, but good for him.
Yep.
Who's next?
Batting sixth, playing third base. Key Brian Hayes.
Okay.
Batting seventh, playing center field, Jack Sawinski.
Mm-hmm.
Batting eighth and playing second base, Ji-Won Bae. Rodolfo Castro not in the opening day lineup. Your man.
I'm angry. You saw by my reaction.
Yes. Your face dropped when I said that.
I do like Ji-Won Bae. I do. I thought he was a pretty... He has some electrifying aspects to his game.
He's
I'll
a
say
spark
that.
Plug.
I'll say that. But that's very disappointing for me, personally. Go ahead.
And batting ninth and catching, Austin Hedges. So to review, we've got Cruz, Reynolds, McCutcheon, Santana, Smith, and Jigba, Hayes, Sawinski, Bae, Hedges, and Mitch Keller on the bump.
Smith and Jigba is the story.
Yep.
Tell me more about this guy. Shelty was really high on him, like really high on him yesterday, talking about him, wasn't he?
He was. We asked him about why Travis Swaggerty did not make the opening day roster, and he went right to Smith and Jigba saying that he's a better fit right now. We feel more comfortable with him in there, and obviously they do if they're putting him in the fifth spot in the opening day lineup.
All right, here's his story here. Was he drafted, Fulzy?
Yes.
When?
He was drafted by the Yankees in the fourth round of the 17 draft.
Okay. Here's
out of high school.
All right. You're right. He started with the Staten Island Yankees.
By the way, brother of Jackson Smith and Jigba, the receiver, coming out of Ohio State.
Yes, sir. And at Indy last year, all right, he had Triple A Indy. He had 184 at-bats with one homer. 19 RBIs. He hit .277 with a .795 OPS. Did he have any steals? He must have. He had 8 steals. And then he had a cameo with the Pirates where he was 1-for-5. Across the minors, he hit .276 with an .801 OPS with 26 homers in 1,200 at-bats. So what's the drawing card here with this guy? I asked that as a legit question.
Yeah.
I'm not saying... There isn't one.
I think there's a little bit of pop in the bat. He had a couple of homers in spring training, hit .326 in spring training this year, .926 OPS. I think they like that his bat has come along. I'm not sure about his defense, you know, how well he does out there. I watched a couple of games with him in it, and I was, you know, he was solid. So I think they're just giving this guy a chance. They're seeing progression there, and they're just throwing him in there to see what he does. And well, I like it over Connor Joe.
Yes, I do too. And really, this is the guy who's here over Swaggerty, especially if he's going to be something resembling an everyday player. I guess if you're talking young, rising players, those were the two competing, right?
Yeah. And I think he was their 28th best prospect. So it's he cracked the top 30, but it's not like he is, you know, a top 10 guy that they're counting on necessarily for the future. But if he can emerge, that's great.
All right. Well, that's your Pirates opening day lineup. You just heard it. Cruz, Reynolds, McCutchen, Santana, Smith and Jigba, Hayes, Sawinski, Jiwon Bae, and Austin Hedges. How would you rate that as a major league lineup, Folsy? In the meantime, we know you're on the line waiting with your win totals at 412-928-9370. Optimism reigns here today with our win totals. One man called in with 88, Folsy. Is he still up from a late night?
Yeah, he might be.
What do you think of this as a major league?
Something this morning.
Give this a grade as a major league lineup.
Probably a C-.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's a little bit down. But, I mean, I look at beyond, I mean, the top two hitters. You start off with Cruz and Reynolds. That's pretty good.
Yes, I love that.
That's a major league start to your lineup.
With what I think Cruz is going to do, that's a B to an A-,
yep.
Top two. I love that.
I agree.
A lot of people don't think Cruz will do that, and then obviously everything changes. But the lineup for me changes at number three, much as I love McCutchen. If he's your three hitter, it can't be a really good lineup. It
no.
just can't.
They've got potential in other spots. I mean, the middle of the lineup, as we're saying, is just not... It's not a major league middle of the lineup that's can do a lot of damage,
no.
I don't think. With McCutchen, Santana, and who knows with Smith and Jigba. I mean, who knows what he can become this year? And who knows what we're going to get from Key Brian Hayes as
or
well.
Sawinski.
The rest of the lineup's all question marks. And when you have that beyond just the first two guys, you can't rise above a C for me.
Except we know what we're going to get from Hedges, and it's not going to be much. He's here for his defense.
Right.
So he's a given. That's why he's batting ninth. I agree with you on C-. I think that's a great call. Somebody in projection said the Pirates had the 14th or 15th best lineup in the league. That might be a little bit optimistic for me, but not by much. It's right in the middle, C. Maybe
yeah.
a C to a C-minus lineup. And again, there's obvious placeholders. McCutchen is a placeholder. Santana is a placeholder. Hedges is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're expecting guys to come up. But I just don't think that any lineup where McCutchen is in prime position there at number three can be taken that seriously.
But you just hit on it, Joe, that by the time we get to July, hopefully, this lineup could look entirely different.
And don't get me wrong.
And it could be much better.
Absolutely. Andy Rodriguez could be your three guy then, or somewhere in there.
Right. Or Nick Gonzalez could be in there somewhere.
McCutchen's still capable of being a pretty good hitter. Don't get me wrong on that. He could come out today and hit, you know, game-winning home run, go 3-for-4. The guy's hit, what, 27, 37, 44 homers over the last 2 years. He's got some pop left in the bat.
Sure.
17 last year. I just don't think at that position. And then followed by Santana. Maybe Santana is helped by the lack of a shift this year. But there's not many teams left in baseball right now where he would be their number four hitter. Would you agree on that?
I would agree on that. He's always been a guy that's been very interesting to me in that he takes a lot of walks. He's a very polished hitter at the plate where he doesn't chase a whole lot, and his on-base percentage just over his career has always been decently high.
Who are you talking about?
Santana.
Yeah.
Even though the batting average is ugly sometimes, like, you know, the past 2 years, a 202 and a 214,
yeah.
He's hovering around 200 in 2020 as well. He does get on base. Like in 2020, perfect example, he hit 199. I mean, I know that was a COVID shortened season, but his on base percentage was 349. The past couple years, 316, 319.
Yeah, I hear that. It's the same way I feel about McCutchen. They're both still professional hitters, but they're not middle of the order hitters.
Correct.
Who else we got, Felsey? Someone on the line?
Yeah, we got Pittsburgh Phil.
Hello, Pittsburgh, Phil.
Joe, you know there's not a cloud in the sky? It's unbelievable.
Is that true? I should golf today before I go over to a game. Thank you for telling me that, Pittsburgh, Phil.
Which propels me to, you know, it makes you happy to have that kind of weather in Pittsburgh. We're going to have a conversation around the All-Star break of, can you believe that the Pirates are going to be 500? And it's going to continue for the whole year because those guys got each other's back. I like the lineup. I'm going to say 77, but I'm going to say we're talking about being 500 for the whole year, and that's going to be a good conversation. These guys are good to go out to the ballpark and see. We have a lot of good things to talk about this year.
Well, yeah, we're not talking about something much different here, Pittsburgh, Phil. I had 74, you have 77. We're thinking alike. Volsey had 73. There's not much of a difference.
You weren't with Ron at the time. It was way back. It was when might have been with Vinny. But Ron would say, you know, he would ask everybody what they thought the Pirates would be. He never would go above 90. This is when McCutchen and the big three were here.
Yeah.
And I went 100 one year, and we almost exceeded the 100. But this year is exciting. You got a lot of new people down there. Is that Folsey with you?
Yes, it is. Say hello to Folsey.
Folsey, you've acclimated well with these guys. It's not easy to do.
Oh, I appreciate that, Pittsburgh Phil.
Thank you, Pittsburgh Phil.
Have a good day, guys.
You too.
You too.
Man, he's an optimistic sort. I expected him to say 100 wins. He only said seven. He made a great case and then landed on 78.
77.
77. Yeah, 77. Who's next?
We have Dave.
What up? Go ahead, Dave. Dave sounds like he's in
Dave.
A rainstorm.
I know. Dave.
Dave?
Maybe it's better that he doesn't take our call.
Yeah, let's.
He's in a way right
or
now.
Or a car wash. I don't know what he was in.
How about Chad?
Hello, Chad. What's up?
Hey, guys. This is Chad. So I'm born and raised in Cleveland, right? I'm a lifelong Guardians fan or Indians fan, whatever you want to call them.
My condolences.
Austin Hedges. Thank you. Austin Hedges will make your guys' rotation and the bullpen at least over the course of a season a half run better with ERA. Ooh. I saw him do it with the Guardians last year. They don't make the playoffs without him. Mm. Now, yeah, he lacks at the plate, but his defense and his pitch calling is phenomenal. Mm.
I like to hear that, actually. That's a great call. I'll take a defensive catcher, and I'll never forget what – and Russell Martin turned out to be pretty good offensively for the Pirates, too. You know, not legendary offensively, except for that homer he hit off Cueto. He was a decent offensive player, but what he did for the pitching staff – you can't measure. The example I always use is Jared Hughes in spring training, developed a new pitch, off speed, can't remember exactly what it was. And later in the year, somebody asked him, how did you, you know, have the confidence to use that? He said, Russell Martin, only guy who could have convinced me that I needed to use that pitch. There's no analytic to measure that kind of influence. Some of the stuff you're talking about, though, there are analytics. And I love having a defensive catcher. Thanks for the call.
Thank you.
That was really good. And if he can deliver that kind of defense, that kind of sage advice to pitchers, instilling confidence in them, I don't care. He can, like I always say, he can leave the bat back at the hotel. Give me a glove.
Especially with a young staff to work with. Now, at the same time, when Andy Rodriguez and Henry Davis are ready, I mean, they play over that guy.
Absolutely. But he'd be nice as a backup.
As a backup.
And he has had seasons with the Padres, by the way, in the National League of 18, 14, 11 homers. You know, give me 13 home runs and give me really, really great defense. That's a position I'll take that. Next.
How about Steve?
Hello, Steve.
How's it going?
Good. What do you got?
I got 65 wins.
65. Ooh. Give us a reason.
Best signing was Rich Hill. I got to look at the Last Supper. Guy's old.
All I heard was Rich Hill and old, and I agree. Thank you for the call.
Yep.
Not that he couldn't have a decent year, Folsey.
Or at least half a season. That's all they really need.
Are they still in the business of moving on from players if they're having a good year?
I think with Rich Hill, they would be.
So do I, unless they're actually threatening at
like
midseason.
In it.
And he's having a pretty good year.
Like above 500 in it.
Yes. He did have a winning record last year for the Red Sox. Not that record's the most important thing, but a respectable ERA of 4.2. 109 strikeouts and 120. He's a middling pitcher at this point in his career. How old is he?
Is he 43?
He's 43, yeah. So I would say him and others, several others, are definitely candidates to be moved because, again, there's people now. The difference this season is there's multiple people knocking on the door at AAA. And once we start seeing them, then it would make sense to move some of these people out. But if Rich Hill is having a really good first half and the Pirates are a surprise team, then I don't think that's a good idea and certainly not a good sell, right?
You think that's still the case with Carlos Santana and G-Man Choi, though? Because who's going to play first?
Well, that's a good question. If you don't have anybody else ready to go at those positions,
right,
then it becomes way more difficult.
Those guys might stick around just from necessity.
Did they say Endy's played a little bit of first?
Yeah, he's played all around. He's played in the outfield as well. In second base, I think.
I just want his bat.
He's
in the
an interesting player to me.
And no, he's to everybody. He's their guy. Jim Bowden put out a list of catching prospects. He's second to the blue chip kid for the Dodgers.
I just hope
second in all of baseball.
I just hope it wasn't fluky
among catchers.
What he did last year.
I know.
It scares me a little.
Are you scared?
I am. Maybe I'm hurt in the past. We're going through the Pirates therapy sessions again.
Hurt for these wounds are tough to overcome.
Yeah, you get a little nasty deja vu with some of these prospects that blossom for a season and then all of a sudden they regress back to what they really are.
You know what we're gonna do next? A lightning round. Do we still have calls, Folsy?
We have one on the line and we've got three blinking right now.
Okay, I'm gonna let you answer those. Then we're gonna do one more rapid fire segment. All you're gonna say is your win total. Don't care about your reason. Folsy's going to speed through this. It's going to be, hello, Jim, 74. Hello, Rob, 36. Whatever you have. That's what we want in the next round, so we have a good sample size here, and we can do a little scientific polling. That would be a good idea. 412-928-9370. 928-9370. It's opening day. We want your win total. We've had one as high as 88, one as low as 65, I believe that guy just said. Folsy's at 73. I'm at 74. Ron is at 72. How about you? We'll talk about that.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
All right, Nene. Let's go back to the lines, and the exercise is simple here. We're not being rude to anybody, but all we want is your win total. What would you say the average of all of our callers so far is? Low 80s?
Because
the 66 or the 65 might have brought it down.
Might have brought it down. I think it's probably sitting at like 79, 78 maybe.
But we did have an 88, Folsy.
We did. That was the outlier. But most of them have been, we've gotten a couple of 77s, a 76, an 81.
Okay.
An 82.
So here we go. We
so have it might be at 80.
Okay. We have 8 calls on the line. I'm going to say the person's name. If you're out there and you're one of these calls, just say a number and then we're moving on. Don't try to talk.
Yep.
We don't have time. We only want your number. Folsy, go ahead.
Zach.
72, meow.
Did he give a meow at the end?
Yes. Why don't you do this, Folsy? That it'll go quicker. You just say the name, they give the number.
Okay.
Go ahead.
So
I'll listen in.
Zach at 72.
Yep.
Neil.
57.
What?
What?
50 or 67?
He said 57.
Okay.
Whew, that's an outlier.
You
Troy.
Sure about that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Troy.
69.
All right.
All right. Jeff.
71. 71.
71.
Thank you, Jeff.
Let's
Boy,
see
people
here.
Are really following directions
they
well,
are.
Folsy.
This is
better
great.
Than Ray Fittipaldo during free association.
That's for sure. Rob.
72.
72 for Rob. Thank you, Rob.
Mm.
And Matt.
75.
75 for Matty.
Very interesting. That was a different round of callers right there.
Yeah, it was. That's because they sat on hold for the past break, and they really were like contemplating things.
Yeah. Why don't we do that again as the show goes along? In fact, call in anytime you want, and once we get a full bank, we'll do that again and just go through and hear the predictions. And we'll do that periodically through the show. But up next, a Pitt running back put on an astounding show at Pro Day and has met with the 49ers, among others. But man, would that be interesting to see this guy on the 49ers, especially if Christian McCaffrey ever gets injured again, which his history suggests might happen. You know what I mean? If he's a backup running back to McCaffrey and he ever gets a chance, wow. Let's talk about who this is and what happened at this Pro Day next on Cook and Joe. Jason Mackey, top of the hour. Folsy, you just told me that Tristan Jarry is the first goalie off the ice. Man, this is becoming a disaster, their goaltending situation. I've been saying for 3 weeks or more that Casey DeSmith deserved a running goal. He did. He didn't get one until it finally just became necessary, and it was a mini one at that, and he blew it the other night. So under normal circumstances, I would say, okay, time to go back to the other guy. And yet I think it was Josh Yeo reporting that just the other day at practice, Jarry didn't look right to him. He hasn't looked right at all.
I did read that from Yoey as well.
So do you go to a guy who has to be having confidence issues and perhaps physical issues, or do you go back to Casey DeSmith, who by and large, despite the horrible game the other night, especially the tie-breaking goal, has actually been playing well? I stick with DeSmith if Jarry is anywhere near, let's say, or anything less than 80% or 90%, and I think he is.
You know what's really interesting, and this is from our friend Bob Grove, who tweeted this out before the game against the Red Wings the other night. He said, Casey DeSmith, you know, was the right call, regardless of the stat below. And he said that Casey DeSmith has lost 7 of his last 9 road starts.
Mm.
So that, to me, you know, spells backup goaltender. But also, maybe there's like a home-road split action that you could do here.
Yeah, could be. Could be.
You know?
I'm just concerned, heavily concerned about Jarry.
Oh,
Smith.
Yes.
DeSmith is what he is. He's going to give you good games as a backup, but not over a prolonged period of time. I trust him tonight still more than I do Jari. I do. I'd go with the Smith.
Especially at home, given that stat.
Anyway, how about Israel Abanikanda? How about this story? This dude went off at Pitt's Pro Day. Okay, he reportedly ran between a 4.26 and a 4.32 in the 40-yard dash. That would have been first at the combine among running backs. He jumped 41 inches in the vertical, would have been first among running backs. He broad jumped 10.8, would have been first among running backs. But forget about all that. He also had the most rushing TDs in college football last season. He had a 320-yard game. And the last I saw on somebody's rankings, he's the 15th running back. I think that has probably changed by now. I see where he met with Sean McVay and the Rams and with the 49ers. What do you think you would do in either one of those offenses? Folsey, I'm wondering if this guy, and it's not based on pro day, although the speed he flashed was an eye-opener. I think he might be a star. I think he might turn out to be better than Najee Harris, as a matter of fact.
Oof, that's a claim. That is a big claim. He is one of these guys that's the typical Pitt prospect coming out of the university and going into the NFL, where he's kind of under the radar. You know, people are kind of talking about him a little bit, but that he goes on to have a great pro career because he's got all the tangibles, right, that he didn't necessarily show. Oh, I think he did show them at Pitt. They get these guys all the time that get into the NFL, get into the league, and all of a sudden they're stars. And he seems like one of these guys as well, especially if he goes somewhere like San Francisco, where they can just plug and play him into that scheme, into that system under Kyle Shanahan.
I mean what doesn't he have?
Successful there.
Yeah. What doesn't he have? He's
I love the way
he's 5'11", 215. He ain't small. He has tape. 1,431 yards and 20 touchdowns worth of it, including the 320-yard game. And he's got all the measurables, like to the point where no other running back in the draft can match his performance at Pro Day. He's got to be in the top five running backs now, doesn't he?
He could be Isaiah Pacheco of this season.
Oh, my God. Can you imagine if he winds up there?
In Kansas City.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
At the 32nd pick? Or 31st, I guess. Steelers are 32nd.
Yeah. Oh, I don't think he would go first round, do you?
Yes,
you
I do.
He'd go first round?
Yes, I do.
Oh, man, I don't know about that.
I do, Folsey.
I think he could go like third round, maybe late second round.
Who's the first running back on the board right now?
Well, it's not even about who's the first or second. It's just running backs. I think people are scared off by running backs in the first round.
Well, they are, and probably for good reason. But in the second half of the first round, late in the first round, let me see who the first running back off some of these boards is. I mean, I have a rule for running backs and for safeties, if we want to talk about the Terrell Edmonds situation again, and that's unless you're, and I'm talking mostly box safeties. If you have, and I realize, too, that there's the classic idea of a strong safety, box safety, whatever kind of safety, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
That safety, he better be a star if you're going to take one in the first round. And Terrell Edmonds wasn't. Not a bad player, average player. Terrible move to take that position. By the way, this mock draft has Jordan Addison going 15th to the Packers. Can you imagine that, Folsey? Mm. Brian Branch, a safety from Alabama, going to the Steelers.
Yeah, I've seen him go to the Steelers a few times. He's the hybrid. He's the safety hybrid linebacker type.
It's the Robinson kid from Texas.
That's the first running back.
Yeah.
He's getting a lot of hype, too.
He's pretty electric. There's no doubt about that. But if he's going, you know, in the early 20s or whatever.
I mean, Abanikanda might have shot himself into the first three rounds of the draft just by his pro day.
I mean, the Chiefs took Clyde Edwards-Helaire in the first round.
I know.
Don't be surprised, Folsey. These guys fall in love. For a year it did. Didn't he get hurt?
Yeah.
All I'm saying is watch that kid rise. What segment are we in here, Folsey? Is this the second or third of the hour?
It's the third of the hour, yeah.
This is going by fast.
I know. We're flying.
What about those numbers, though? 4-2-6 for the 40?
That's much faster than I thought he would do. Much faster. I mean, he is, if he's got that kind of speed, I think his natural style is to hit you in the mouth, too.
Yeah.
He did that a lot at Pitt, and I love the way that he ran at Pitt. So if he can combine that kind of speed with the power that he's shown,
I'm telling you right
that's
now,
dangerous.
He's going to go early in the second round. That's my prediction. You?
I'd say late second, early third, just because of the, not against him, it's the position.
Mm-hmm.
I think teams are looking more and more to add these guys later in the draft because they see a guy like Isaiah Pacheco, who was drafted way late. I think he was seventh round.
Yeah, but do they see guys who had a 300-yard game in college and run a 4-2-6?
No.
Can he catch the ball?
Yeah.
I mean, he had how many catches? Not many last year, but he had a touchdown.
It wasn't really like their offense to do a whole lot of that.
I mean, if they determine he also has good hands coming out of the backfield, forget about it. He's going early second round. I'm telling you.
You might be right. Let's see. Receiving, 12 catches for 146 yards and a touchdown.
Yeah, hard to tell. Did you see where the Ravens made a play for Baker Mayfield?
I did not see that.
Yes, they did.
Huh.
And I think he said no from the story that I'm looking at. What would you have made? Is that any kind of indication on the Lamar thing, or were they just bringing him to upgrade on Pro Bowler Tyler Huntley?
I think it was absolutely had to do with the Lamar thing, too. They were uncertain how that whole thing was going to shake out. When did Baker Mayfield sign in Tampa? Was that after March 2nd? I don't remember,
but joebucksfan.com. This is actually a legit site, and it's now through Pro Football Talk reports that Joe Bucks fan, that the Ravens made an offer to Mayfield and that Mayfield declined. Hmm. Now, Huntley is a restricted free agent, but hasn't gotten any interest. And then Anthony Brown, we all know him, is the other guy. So maybe they were just looking for a better backup.
And I can't necessarily blame Baker either because Lamar could come back and he's got to deal with him and Huntley, where in Tampa, I mean, if they don't, I know they're going to
most likely
add to that room, but right now he's the starter.
They can add to it with Mason Rudolph?
In Tampa?
Yeah.
Why not?
By the way, Folsy, I was looking into the Steelers' 2018 draft class now because it stinks or it stunk. And I wrote about Terrell Edmunds. Which was their bigger mistake, drafting him or letting him go? I don't think letting him go was a mistake. I think drafting him was a profound mistake. And when I look at that draft, you ready to hear the 18 draft?
Yeah.
Now, these are guys, 2018. These guys should be in their mid-20s and their primes helping the Steelers win games. Here was their draft class. Edmunds, 31st, first round. James Washington, 60th overall, second round.
Mason Rudolph,
76th overall, third round. They had three picks in the top 76, and none are here. Chukwuemeka Okorafor, third round, 92nd. An average right tackle.
Still a little high.
Marcus Allen, fifth round. Jalen Samuels, fifth round. And down goes Joshua Frazier, seventh round. That's a disaster.
That's a total miss of an entire draft class outside of Chukes.
The arrogance of taking Mason Rudolph. I wish we had the Ben clip from his show when he first ripped that pick with Ron.
Did they make the wrong pick? I can remember him saying.
Yeah, he said we could have gotten guys who would have helped us.
Yeah.
Basically, what are we doing?
Did they screw up the pick?
Having the arrogance to take a flyer on Ben's potential successor in 2018 in the third round when you had a team that was capable of winning.
Well, when did he make the retirement comments, though? Wasn't that before that?
Yeah, but I think he was set at that point for that year. And I think it was the year before that he may have said that. I don't remember. Nobody took that seriously, Folsy.
Well, I know, but the fact that retirement came out of that man's mouth, there was probably part of him that panicked a little and said, wait a second.
I'll say they drafted Mason Rudolph.
Yeah. Wait a second. This guy is thinking about retirement here. We got to put something in place.
It's such an average, vanilla, horrifying draft. It really is. And that was the theme of the draft. Let's take a bunch of guys who might be able to play in the league and be real average. I'm sure they weren't thinking that, but that's the way it came out.
Well, Mason Rudolph didn't look like an average college quarterback, though. Like, the Mason Rudolph that we saw at the NFL level, even not even in, like, success, but style of play, was not who he was at Oklahoma State.
I know, but you can say that about a trillion quarterbacks, right?
Can you? For guys that were totally, like, open it up, gun it down the field.
He stinks, Fulzy.
I'm going to sling it everywhere, and then all of a sudden in the NFL, he's afraid to throw a five-yard out.
I know, because when he does sling it, it goes to the other team.
Yeah.
Well, that's a problem.
Well, I mean, I don't know.
Look at that draft. It might be right. Maybe somebody will give, but the rest of the league isn't exactly jumping on the Mason bandwagon here. Yeah. There's down to about three jobs left and none for him, apparently.
And I'm not defending that draft. I mean, it was not good.
It's horrific is what it is. They went for Oklahoma State's pitch and catch combo with their second two picks. Why? Because they beat Pitt a couple times?
They fell in love with it.
Brutal, man. It's just brutal. Although I will say this, nobody's going to forget the 18 class. Two of the most calamitous plays in franchise history were delivered by these guys. At least two. Mason and the Miles Garrett incident, and Marcus Allen going into the Panthers huddle.
I forgot about that.
Nobody else ever will.
Oh, man.
They had their moments. Remember Jalen Samuels had 142 yards against the Patriots?
I actually liked Jalen Samuels. I liked him.
For a minute. Yeah.
I mean, I liked him in the role that he was in.
James Washington.
Starting games.
Yeah, I know. James Washington made a couple fabulous catches. He had that one in the Miles Garrett revenge game. Remember they came back here? Ducks started the game. And was it at the end of the first half, maybe? James Washington made one of the best catches you'll ever see. Flat on his back in the end zone on a deflection.
Yeah. Remember? Right. And the Cincinnati game, I think, where Mason was pulled at halftime and Duck came in.
That's right.
Big, long touchdown pass
yes,
to James
Fulzy.
Washington.
That's exactly right. But overall, a disappointment,
yes.
A misevaluation. Edmonds, wrong position. Rudolph, arrogance. Okorafor, average. Marcus Allen, other teams huddle. Jalen Samuels, out of league. I don't know what happened to Joshua Frazier. Sorry. Can't do it, Fulzy. You can't have a draft like that.
Total miss. It's a wasted year.
And then Edmonds goes for a pay cut to the Eagles. A pay cut.
Yeah, what do you make, $2 million with incentives?
Yes.
That's why I say, when you say that you don't think it's a mistake that they let him go, I am not going to say that yet. I'm not ready to say that.
Well, I do acknowledge here at the end that the Edmonds story isn't finished. And here's the funny thing. If the Eagles bring out the playmaker in this guy, if they turn him into Jared McCann with the Kraken, then the whole story gets reversed. So the Steelers will then look bad for not making him a better offer. But they'll look better for drafting him in the first place. Oh, he is a first-round talent. You know what I mean?
But then they'll look bad and why didn't you get this out of this
that
guy?
That too. They'll look bad on two counts, good on one.
Yep. I think the bad will outweigh the good there.
I have a feeling you think they should have brought him back. By the way, Omar Khan said this week they made him an offer.
Did they?
Yes, he said it.
I'm just saying I don't know what they're going to do now.
I think, and I would bet, that the Steelers made him a better offer. There's no way they made him a worse one than last year. And I think Terrell Edmonds was insulted by their order. Offer, I should say. No hard and fast info on that. I'm just reading the clues here.
Yeah, but if in fact
they made him an offer, they wouldn't have asked him to take a pay cut coming off last season. It would have been about the same or better. He said, screw it. I'm not going to be, in his mind probably, disrespected like this. I'll go to a better team. And a team that might bring out my talents more.
That is an interesting point. Better team that he goes to Philly because he signed pretty quickly. I mean, the news, his tweet saying goodbye to Pittsburgh and to the Steelers.
Yeah.
Came and then a day later, I think it was, wasn't it? Maybe 2 days later, he's in Philadelphia on a 1 year deal for $2 million. So it's not like he let that market kind of simmer for him. He took that deal right away. And I wonder.
That market never reached a simmer.
Well,
it stayed in the freezer.
But if he was insulted by the Steelers' offer. If it was better than $2 million, then why did he go for $2 million so quickly to Philly?
I agree. But those reasons: one, better team, better higher team. Profile. If you're better, you're always playing in higher profile games. I mean, the Steelers are the higher profile franchise. I get it. And also, maybe they have a different role in which I could flash some skills as more of a playmaker. I'm still astounded that this guy spent 5 years here and never forced a fumble. That just blows my mind. And only recovered one.
Yeah.
And averaged one interception and one sack per season.
I mean, that was Terrell Edmonds.
He's a splash-free safety. Splash-free.
Splash-free.
Safety, yeah.
Yes. Not a splash-free safety, but a splash-free safety.
Exactly. He plays a splash-free game.
Yeah.
He shows up.
But.
He puts a uniform on every week. And I don't mean it as offensive. He's just another guy. He's an average NFL player, and good for him. There's lots of those.
And my argument here is, and why I still think that I'm holding out my opinion, I guess, of whether it was a good move or not, is because they have a splash safety in Minkah Fitzpatrick playing next to him. And league average, are you going to find league average to plug and play that position for
this
year?
You better. If you can't find average players, you're in big trouble. But then again, well, I was going to say, look at the 18 draft. They did find a couple of average players. Edmonds and Chooks. That's what they did that year.
Yeah.
I wish him well. Maybe the Eagles have something in store here. Maybe they'll bring out the playmaker in him. I don't know. Pirates open today. As you know, we've spent most of the show on it. Jason Mackey is in Cincinnati. I want to talk to him about Kanan Smith and Jigba, whose brother, by the way, is expected to be like a top 15 pick for sure.
He is.
But this guy is now batting fifth for the Pirates in the opener. That was a surprise. Fifth, right?
Yep.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.